The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country, as places tucked away.
I do. Some of you will listen to some of the podcasts anyway. There's one that's recently gone up about me going in the infant school at Causeway Green. And I thought I'd follow it on with telling you about the junior school at Causeway Green, which was just off Grafton Road and Pen Cricket Lane, just up from there, along the Causeway Green Road. And there's lots of tales, really, to do with the junior school. And what was nice about it were the junior school led from the infant school. So, and the two dining rooms, other than this partition, you could see from one to the other. So you knew where you were going. You know, when you were in the last year of the infant school, you think, well, next year I'm going to be sat in that dining room, which was great. But I loved really the junior school. And I suppose the junior school was where I first realised that I was pretty good at football, really. And you had to do things like football proficiency tests, they were called. And I don't know if they do them now. I don't think they do. But it was weird because you'd have this bloke come who was obviously, I don't know who we were, but he were obviously a coach that had to come and examine you. And you had to do things like you'd have a case ball. To be the halfway line, you'd have a case ball on the touchline, and you had to be able to lob it into the centre circle three times. That was one of the things. Then they'd put cones up and you'd have to dribble in and out on the cones in under a certain time, so many times. Obviously, then you had to shoot a goal. You had to score a penalty, something like that. In a goalkeeper, you had to do three out of six or something, or five out of ten. And you did this whole thing, this whole proficiency thing, and then you had this certificate, or a sticky foot, as some of the kids used to call it. And you'd have this certificate to say that you'd passed this proficiency thing. But our kid were a bit older than me. And so when he were in the 1, 2, 3, there'd be 4 years, when he were in fourth year, I was in second year. And you might have done it at your school in the playground. You used to play about 50 a side with a tennis ball. Well, the school team used to go and practice with the two teachers, Mr. Good and Mr. Homer, on a dinner time. And this one dinner time, I think it was Gary Downer. He was the cock of the school. Do you remember cocks of the schools? They were supposedly to be the best fighter in the school. And that was another thing he used to get in junior school. You'd get in infant school. In the first year of junior school, they used to, the big uns used to get you in the playground of a dinner time. And then make this like big circle so none of the dinner monitors could see you. And they would They would pitch you against somebody else. Like they'd say, right, Billy, today, yeah, I'm going to fight Peter over there. And you'd say, well, Peter's my best mate. And you'd say, well, it don't matter. You've got to fight him. You've got to find out who cock of the year is. And then, you might become cock of the school when you're there. But Gary Downer was a funny bloke because he were as hard as nails, but he was a really kind, kind fella. And I were lucky. I mean, all through my school days, I was lucky because I had like older brothers or cousins that were there to follow me. And so I never got any of the sort of bullying or anything, really. But anyway, getting back to the footy, there's loads. I mean, really, I could talk for hours about junior school because I just loved junior school. And there's so many stories, but we were talking. Maybe we'll break it into two or three podcasts, I don't know. Anyway, the one dinner time, Mr. Good come over to me and I was with my mates because the big uns had gone up to like practice, and he said, Billy, and I said, yes, sir. And he said, I want you to come up to the football pitch. which was at the top of the field, at the other side of the schools, the other side of the infant school. And I says, why? He says, well, Gary Downer's mentioned that you're a good player and we want to see what you can do. And I said, well, I've got no football boots, which I hadn't. Our kid had got some because he was in the school team, but I hadn't got any at all. And he said, well, never mind. He says, come up and you can show what we do. Anyway, I went up and they eventually called me Mallet Yed because I'd yed anything. Any case ball that come, I'd just yed it. And yet the case balls then were blooming case balls, I tell you. Once they got a bit of weight in them, flipping heck, they'd knock your head off. That's probably why I'm a bit of a numpty, but never mind. So I went up the first time, then I went up the second time. And then Mr. Omer had borrowed a pair, I don't know where he got them from, he'd borrowed a pair of boots that were a size too big for me, but I bodged paper in them. And then you had to like toe punt. If you wanted to the ball to go a long, long road, you'd like toe punt it because they were a bit like, you know, industrial boots. They were a bit like them, where they were hard, so you could hit it and it wouldn't hurt your toes. It hadn't supposed to hurt your toes, but if you had seen my feet now, bloody hell, never mind. But anyway, and I got in the school team. So I was like 2.5 years younger than anybody, but I was in the school team and they put me right back because I could kick it along road because I was a big kid for my age and I could head anything. But I hadn't got any boots, so I could really only play with these oversized boots. Or if our kid wore playing, then I could borrow his boots. And that's when I started. I was about, 7 years of age when I started proper, really. And then from that, it stemmed that I could go and play with the big uns on a Saturday afternoon. I mean, Lime Farm Colts and teams like that. They was always older than me. The kids was always older than me most of the time. But I went and played with them. So I was in the school team and then that went on, obviously, through the years. And when we were in the last year, we just won everything. And by then I was inside forward and I was scoring a few goals. I think that year, the Causeway Green Junior School side, we won the cup, we won the league. We won everything going. But we'd like beat some of the other schools like 16-0 and 18-0 and I'd score 7. And I scored like 100 and odd goals in a season. It was incredible. And the other thing that we used to do, you'd have inter-school sports, they were called, inter-school sports. Now, that was a bit like the Borough Olympics. And then the Ward of Place, Nowda Sandwell. They were just all the towns. It was like Albury Borough, Worley Borough, Smethwick Borough, Rowley Borough. And you'd have inter-school sports. Now, to have the inter-school sports, you had to have your own school sports day. And they have them in a ways now, but not the way we, not the way we had them, because they was just brilliant. You'd have things like beanbag races. You'd have sack races where you'd have to put your own, your leg in a sack of spuds and stuff. Three-legged races, running races. You'd sort of have your school sports and then you'd get all of the best ones out the school sports and then you'd practice and practice and practice and practice. And then once a year at the old Birchley Ackles and Pollock sports ground, which was a bit, was a posh sports ground then, all the schools in the borough, all the schools that had got a team to enter, would enter this inter-school sports. And you'd compete against, for a cup, you'd compete against the other schools all through the year. So there'd be first year, second year, third year, fourth year. And you'd do all them kind of races and you'd have relay races and that. And all the schools would have the day off to go and support your school, or the afternoon off to go and support your school. And all your mothers and your fathers and your aunties and your uncles and your neighbours and that would all come. There'd be thousands there, absolutely thousands. It'd be like mini Olympic Games. It was fantastic. And there were we, Causeway Green, and normally St Hubert's, who were up by the Catholic Church on the Wolverhampton Road, and they were good and all. And they had a bloke called Jimmy Doyle, who was really, really fast at like the 60-yard dash and all that. And it normally went down to the wire where we were either one in front, they were either one in front, and it was like the wenches relays and the lads relays, like the big ones the last year. And whoever won that normally won the cup. And there was, in fact, I met her not long ago. It was ever so weird. We was in Aylesow in busking, me and Tim. And this wench come up with these kids who we knowed. And there's a story. These kids had been coming up for Wicks. And they take a tambourine or something and play with me. And I said, give us your names and I'll give a shout on the radio. And they said, oh, all right then. And they writ them down. I forgot what the Christian names were, but the surnames were Skett. And I went, oh, that's an unusual. The father was up on the bench. I said, that's an unusual name. I used to live next door to a Skett. Anyway, the dad come down and he went, he says, yeah, my dad's Peter. Well, Peter Skett was one part of our gang of the Dales, and he went to school with me and everything. And it was such a small world, eh? Anyway, this Carol Sharp was part of that family. And, of course, we're in our 70s now. And her come down with the Babs the other Saturday. And I says, I bet you don't know who I've been, don't you? And I went, well, your face is familiar, but I ain't quite sure. And I could work out the toy with the Babs here. And her was like their nana. And I went, I went to school with you. And I went, yeah, I'm Carol Sharp, are you? And I went, oh. And I said to Tim, there's a story about Carol Sharp. And he says, what? Yeah, I says, yo, all you do is tell stories on a Saturday. You don't do no singing. And I said, well, Carol Sharp was a brilliant, brilliant athlete. It was great. It was really, really quick and everything. But when we were training once for the inter-school sports, we were doing the high jump. Now, the high jump then, they have like these cushy things. You went over the bar and you went in a sun pit, so it was really hard. Well, Carol was going up. And then you did something called the scissors kick. You know, do the Fosbury flop, what they do now. You did something called the scissors kick. Or the straddle where you went over frontage with your ballet and just landed on the sun. Well, I was doing the scissors kick. Well, I got too near the bar, and I think it was our last year. So it would be, 9 or 10, something like that. I got too near the bar, and the knee caught the metal bar, because the bar was metal and it wore like light plastic or anything like that. And as her knee caught the bar, it knocked a kneecap out and a kneecap went down a shin. So there was like this dip where a kneecap was supposed to be. A kneecap was like sticking out of a shin. And air like fell on the floor and all the wenches started to faint all over the place. And Mr. Good and Mr. Amber were there. And all the lads were going, oh my God, a kneecap's come out. Oh my God, a kneecap's come out. And it did. And they had to get the ambulance. And the ambulance men get her some, you know, something to calm her down a bit. Because, I mean, obviously he was in a lot of pain. And they had to, like, ease it back and then get her off to the hospital to, you know, to get it all. And it was out for ages and ages and ages. And I had loads and loads of trouble with that kneecap. But, oh, it was a tales, Owen. And I was going to tell you something about Gary Downer. All right, now, Gary Downer was an hard as nails, this kid was. I think he played wing-back in the school football team. Great football player. But he got Heart of Gold, and I think he got a bab, a younger brother, who for want of a better word then, because they used the word, was autistic. Well, we used to come out of school, come out of Causeway Green School, and we used to go and get a penny mix from Barclays, which was the bottom of Grafton Road. And there was a lad, well, a bloke, really. There were some houses, some big old houses that backed on to Causeway Green Road, and they had like a wall that was raised that was about shoulder right to we. There was a lad who used to sot on the wall, and he'd be Down syndrome. I mean, we don't really understand it at the time, but he'd sot there, and that, you know, he'd got the Down syndrome features in his face and that, and he was a lovely, lovely kid. And we used to get our penny mix and we used to go round. And his nana, I don't know, I never see his mother and father. Whether he lived with his nana, I don't know. Never see his mother and father. But his nana had come out and we'd say, is it all right if he has a suck? And I'd go, well, yeah, but not too many, because he gets, you know, it gets him excited and stuff like that. And he don't spake properly. He was difficult to understand. But he was just a gentle old soul, a big, big lad, but he was a gentle old soul. And we'd stand there and we'd have a laugh with him and we'd give him a soak and stuff like that. But you'd get them that had, you know, they'd come by and they'd flick paper at him and they'd call him horrible things. I ain't going to say, you know, what they call him, because it just ain't right. And we get in a ruck sometimes with these kids. We shouldn't be doing that. We'd get in a ruck, and then Mr. Barclay had come out, and then, you know, we'd get oofed up before the headmaster, and the headmaster would have we in all separate and then have we in together and say, look, you know, there are people that are different to us and there's no reason for you to treat them badly and all that. And I suppose that's where you get, you know, you started to get your values and your non-judgmental values about folk. And obviously it's a lot better now, because we understand that people am different. But this one day, I was talking about Gary Downer, this one day there was this ruck of kids who come out, and we was chatting to this young lad, he comes tearing up, because he lived the other side, he lived down Pen Cricket Lane. He come tearing up towards this lad who was on the wall, and he just lumped these kids that was teasing him, just lumped them. Doyo touch him, Doyo say any nasty things to him again, or you'll have me to, you know. And we were there aghast, really, because he was this bloke who was hard as nails. And he was saying, you know, he's no different to you, there's nothing to do. And it went on, you know, it went on a bit. And then these kids were saying, and he says, now say sorry to him. And at first it was like, sorry. And he went, now I want you to apologise, and to his nana who was standing there, because his nana was upset, like, you know. And they apologised. And we found out that he'd got a brother or a relative that had got a similar condition, you know. And so there was, you took him as this, like, hard nut that, you wouldn't cross or anything like that. But deep down, he'd got heart of gold. He was just a lovely, 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 smashing kid. Gary Downer, and I very often wonder, where this lad might be. I mean, he's probably passed away now, but also, what happened to Gary Downer? You know, what did he ever do? You can either see him being a blooming boxer or something, or you can see him being a vicar and, you know, and taking the cloth and stuff like that. Very strange, ain't it? But yeah, junior school, and I suppose going on, I was. Something changed when I went to junior school. Something changed, really, and I lost a lot of the varmint in. Well, I still had it in a way, but it wore very often that it manifested itself like it did. I was telling you in the other podcast, really, I wore as naughty, except I suppose at dinner times, because you could become, as you got older, you could become a dinner monitor. Now, as I was telling you, I got protected, really, by my elder brothers. So when you went to dinner, when you went to school dinners, you were sat on a table. Well, I was always with somebody from and my brother was the monitor, or somebody from his gang was the monitor. So nothing ever happened to me. But I noticed on some of the other tables what was going on, and I thought, oh, that's all right, I'll try that when I become a monitor. And I become a dinner monitor, and there was things like Fridays was fish and chips, or one of your favourite things that you used to have was like a chocolate cake in a tray and loads of thick custard. And we used to, you had two dinner monitors, one that served, because they'd bring the stuff round on a trolley, the dinner ladies. It had all been like tin, these tins, and really hot, and they'd bring it from the kitchen, because it was all cooked on site. They'd bring it from the kitchen, and then they'd put it all on the trolley, and then they'd bring it round, and then they'd put it on your tables with all the implements, and then you'd serve it, and then they'd come and collect all the stuff and take it back to be washed. Well, particularly on Fridays, or when we had this chocolate tray break, you'd have, we'd probably be third year or fourth year, you'd have the first and second years allocated onto your table, and there'd be about 10 on a table, and you'd go round and you'd say, you don't like fish, don't you? And you go, and they go, yeah, I like fish. And they go, nah, you don't like fish, don't you? And they say, you only want half a fish, don't you? And they'd go, no, no, I couldn't eat a full. And you go, no, what I'm trying to explain is you only like half a fish, don't you? And in the end, they'd go, ah. So, yeah, the dinner ladies always patrolled round to see if everything were all right, you see. And they'd come round and they'd go, oh, doesn't anybody want a full fish on this table, Billy? And I went, no, I've asked them, miss, and they can only manage half the money, Babs. Either they caught out a full and had some mashed potato and peas. Oh, all right then. And you'd give them like six slices of bread instead of one to fill them up and that sort of thing. So you would have a plate with about, you know, your big fish, and then you'd have about six half fishes. And then these would have like a tiny little bit, like the tail on the fish, and nine slices of bread to fill them up. And then when the chocolate, you do the same with the chocolate tray bake. Nobody likes chocolate tray bake on this table, do you? And they go, yeah, yeah, we like chocolate tray bake. And you go, oh, well, what we're going to do is, because they're such big slices and you've already had your dinner, we're going to give you a little slice. And then you'd hide it under all this custard. And if the dinner ladies come round and they'd say, oh, have they nearly finished the cake? And you go, yes, miss, they've ate it all up. And you've got, like, the tray under the table with about six slices that you was going to have another extra in, an extra custard and all that. So I think that would probably be the only thing, in a way, that, that I suppose you could call naughty in... There I did in the, I'd lost all that sort of, I mean, there was no terrapins to bang together, you know. There was no milk monitoring to do where you drunk all the milk, that sort of thing. And I was more interested in sport, I suppose. I was more interested in football. And, of course, when I got in the school football team, I was practising all the time and stuff like that. And then in terms of your education, I got really, really interested in all the lessons because they made them, you know, really interested. Miss Reese, Mr. Roma, Mr. Good, what was her name? Miss Littler, our last teacher, Miss Littler. She was like, you'd think of her a tyrant, but a war, really. You were just a lovely, lovely woman. And it was very, very exacting. And we had... I had a best mate that I'll have to do a podcast about, Mickey O'Leary, who lived on the last estate, the last house on our estate. And he's they were posh, really, because his father, and I do a song about him, about his dad, because his dad died working in the factories. His dad had like an office job. I think he worked at Chance and Hunts, and he played cricket, and his mum... was a secretary. Now, there were another secretary on our estate. So here I'd like pleated skirts. I'd come home and I'd roll the sleeves up and put an apron on. I had pleated skirts and blouses and pearls round the neck and stuff. And I went to their house once. And my mother said, mind your manners when you go to the house. And I went to the house for tea. And they had like lamb chops, which was all right, and potatoes and that. But they fried bananas, and they put a fried banana on a plate, like cut them into them little things that you'd do if you was having a fruit sundae or something. But I put them in the pan and fried them and put them on the plate, and I went, oh, them bananas and my name was. I went, yes, we have bananas with lamb. And I thought, oh, what posh. And I told my mother, and I said, well, maybe posh folks have bananas on the plate. I don't know. But it was ever so strange. Yeah, but Mickey was in my class all through school. A lovely, lovely lad, and I still keep in touch with him now. But me and Mickey used to vie for top of the class, and I've got my old blue book, my old school report book. Do you remember them? Do you remember them school report books? And you had comprehension, spelling, art, science, and then you'd have physical education, maths. No, addition, tables, and they'd gear a score, and then they'd make a comment, wouldn't they? And then along the top, there was like four sections, and you got year, class, numbering class, positioning class, and it was, with me and Mickey, I would say there'd be, I think you had two exams a year, so there'd be, what would there be? You had 4 years, so there'd be eight comments, eight exam things, and I would say out of the eight, it was even Stevens. He'd be fussed four times, I'd be fussed four times. It was very rarely out the top two, me and him. And then you'd have things, if you read back on them, then you'd understand where you were going, really. Because it had got things like there'd be comments about your attendance. Billy's attendance is excellent. His manners are impeccable. my mother and father used to read that one. And then it would say things like, very, very good at art. Physical education, first class, is, although he was only 7, he's in the school football team. A bright future if he continues this development. Things like that. But also, there'd also be pointers for later because it would be comprehension. And it had got very, very creative, but sometimes jumbled. Well, 50 years on down the line, I found out I was dyslexic. Now, ain't that weird? Because that was obviously a pointer to me, having problems, like putting everything down on paper. But nothing was diagnosed then. But 50 years later, when I was doing my doctorate, I found out I was dyslexic. So that's weird, eh? But it was, you know, them teachers were just, it was just, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people have got bad memories of school, but certainly infants and junior, and on another podcast I'll tell you about grammar school and all, but certainly infants and junior were just fantastic, and I just loved the school, and I pass it now with fond memories. And I've been back a couple of times, because they have things called inspirational assemblies, and you had to go and tell the kids, you know, really put them on the path to life and tell them about hard work and looking after one another and being aware if somebody's upset and things like that. So I go back and obviously it seems smaller, though, it now that I'm there, but the essence of the school is still there. And I know exactly where the headmaster's office was and where my classrooms were. And they looked the same, really. And the corridors had this like really weird dog leg to them for some reason. It was built on the skew, the school was. And it was 2 floors. So you had 4 classrooms downstairs and 4 classrooms upstairs. And then you had like a little library and stuff. But Causeway Green, oh, what memories. I could go on all day about Causeway Green. But maybe, you know, we'll leave it there. And what I'm going to do is I'll do another one about going to senior school, which again, I suppose because of me being sporting, I was spoilt a bit, really. But it caused some upsets between some of the teachers, which I can tell you about in another one. But yeah, so coming from, we were lucky really, because coming from infants to junior school, it was just a natural development, because you could see through to the junior school from the infant school, and you knew one day you'd be there, and that you'd and because you'd got folks that you knowed and they lived on the same estate and that, there was no big hassle, because all it was, you was going in a different doer, were you, and you become a bigger. But Causeway Green Junior School, I bet folks, if folks listen to this podcast that come from around there, and I do see folks quite often, in fact. Before I finish, I said Miss Reese in Owlshowen. During COVID, we were there in Owlshowen, and this lady come past, and they went, "You don't remember me, do you?" Well, we'd all got masks on, and we were singing with masks on at the time. And I went, "Well, it's really difficult with masks on and all that." So I popped a mask down, and I went, "Yeah, Miss Reese." Now, I'm 70, so where's God to have been in like a mid-80s or something? And I look a day older. A day, look, a day older than I did when we was kids. And I went, "Oh, Miss Reese." And this chap I was with says, "Was he as bad as he tells me he was?" And she said, "He was a model pupil." How about that? He were me, Billy Spike, were a model pupil. And I could have dropped on the floor. And I says, "Miss Reese, you're my hero." And I aced her since. I hope it's all right. I aced her since. But she was lovely. She was Welsh. And Mr. Good was Welsh. Mr. Homer. He was, they always characters, they always wear tweed jacket, corduroys, brogues and check shirts. Mr. Homer, when he was watching football, used to smoke his pipe. They don't know nothing about football. Honest to God, they were hopeless. They hadn't got anything at all about tactics or anything. But they was lovely blokes. And then our headmaster, Mr. Morrison, he had a 2-tone old Rover car. And there's a story about me and that Rover car that I might tell one day. But and he was like, do you remember Captain Mainwaring, was it? He was like him. like an old school colonel or sergeant or something out of the army. And again, dressed exactly the same. He was on his diddy. And you could just about see his head when he was driving his car. Oh, I just go on. Memories keep coming back. Anyway, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you it makes you remember your own school days. And we'll go on to senior school next time. All right.
The undiscovered black country, the folks don't seem to know. The undiscovered black country, where everyone should go. People walk or cycle round, they pass the time of day. The undiscovered black country, as places tell.